Hey, what's up, guys? Welcome to the 330 Sports Show. Today is July 29th, 2021. I'm your host, Justin Coffin, and we are a Youngstown studio production. Here's what we have on tap for you today. We are going to first talk, obviously, the big news in a lot of the sports world was Simone Biles and what went on with her and the U.S. Olympic team. So we're going to get into that. Quinn Ewers, if you don't know the name, you're going to know it very, very soon. Quinn Ewers is the highest rated recruit Ohio State has ever signed. He will be a high school senior this year. However, he could opt out of his senior year of high school and go straight to Ohio State to cash in on the NIL. We'll talk about that in a little bit. We'll talk about the Ohio State quarterback prospects and what they look like. Tonight is the NBA draft. It's a huge night for the city of Cleveland, for the Cavaliers fans. Who will they take? Will they make any trades? We'll talk. We'll get into that. Major League trade deadline. The Indians actually already have made one trade. Will there be more? We'll let you know about that. Browns training camp opens yesterday, and you know looks pretty good. Everyone seems to be healthy. So those are kind of what we have on the docket today. But anything else on your mind, you are free to, are we doing phone lines today?
Yeah.
Okay. Phone lines are open if you would like to call in, 330-595-1600. If you're not able to call, you can always leave a comment live, you know, through our Facebook or YouTube channels, however you want to do that. So again, if you'd like to call in, 330-595-1600. So give us a call. Let's talk sports. Or if you're not able, obviously, like I said, drop some messages in there and we can go back and forth, because especially I know with the Simone Biles issue, that's been kind of a hot button issue, very polarizing. I'm going to give you my opinions and what I think. You might agree, you might disagree, but hey, that's the nature of this world. And we'll get into that. So I do want to tell you what's going on with two of our next week's shows. We have a really, really great guests coming in next Tuesday and next Thursday. So I'm going to tell you first about our first guests. Lucas, if you don't mind putting that up on the screen, we're going to have the Pavlansky family. If you don't know the Pavlansky family and you're from Youngstown, you probably don't follow sports too much, but because they are, you know, all over local sports. So we are going to feature Dave, who actually was one of my former football coaches way back when. He is now he's obviously a Boardman teacher and a USA track instructor. We're going to feature Pat, who is a Canfield High School basketball coach, and I believe he coaches tennis as well. We're going to feature Mike, who is the Canfield head coach for football. We are going to feature his another one of the brothers, Tom, who is now the Poland football head coach. We're also going to bring in Lauren Pavlansky, who is actually one of my former players, and she is now the JV basketball coach at South Range, formerly at Canfield, formerly at Struthers. If she's able to make it, if she's not able to make this show, we're going to try to get her on another show. But Annie Pavlansky, she is currently a member of the Kent State Lady Flashes, great high school basketball player, and now playing her high school or her collegiate basketball at Kent State right up the road. So looking forward to that. That's going to be on Tuesday. They're going to join us in our normal show at 1 o'clock because of football practices and things like that. We're going to back that show up till 4 o'clock. So, you know, I'll make sure I put that out ahead of time so everybody's, you know, aware. So 4 o'clock on Tuesday will be that show. And then I'm really excited about this next guest. This is going to be next Thursday, a week from today. He is the father of an Ohio State football player, but he has a ton of titles. And I'm going to put that on screen here and you're going to check it out. So his name is G. Scott Sr. And if you have not heard about him, you're missing out, because this guy is awesome. He He actually works at ESPN 710 in Seattle, Washington. He is the game day host for the Seattle Seahawks, which is pretty cool. He's a motivational speaker. He is an auctioneer. He's an MC. And obviously, the father of G. Scott Jr., who is a highly, highly regarded player on the offensive side of the ball for the Ohio State Buckeyes. So he's going to join us next Thursday. And I'm just really looking forward to that show. He is, if you've never heard him speak, he's amazing. So I'm going to ask him a few questions and I'm going to let him go. I'm not getting in the way because he has some amazing things to say, and he's just a great dude and all in for the Buckeyes. So if you remember last year when the Big Ten was about this time last year, when the Big Ten canceled the football season, he was right out there with the parents, like kind of the lead advocate for the student athlete to say, hey, let's let these kids play. Let's get it going. So looking forward to what he has to say. So let's start with kind of the issue in the sports world that's been on everyone's mind. That's Simone Biles. Okay. So Simone obviously dropped out of the team competition. She dropped out of the individual competition. I think she's still able to compete in certain events that pick up on Sunday. She has time to decide on that. But I'm going to just read this first quote she put out there. I have to put my pride aside. I have to do what's right for me and focus on my mental health and not jeopardize my health and well-being. That's why I decided to take a step back. So that was the first quote she put out. And this other quote here that I'm going to show you in a minute, it kind of gets more, a little bit more detailed and a little bit more involved. So I had heard of this phrase called the twisties. I had to Google it. I had never heard of it before. So apparently the twisties are when gymnasts are in midair and they kind of like lose awareness of where they are in the skill that they're performing to make it difficult to land safely. So basically she's saying, I'm not in the right headspace to compete, to keep myself healthy. And, it could, obviously one, sacrifice her health, and two, hurt the team in a team competition. So a lot of strong opinions one way or the other on this. A lot of people think, she sort of let down the team, and, I don't necessarily feel that way. I'll talk to you about what I think here in a second, but I do want to say that the team ended up going on to get a silver medal in the team competition. So, they still medaled. And it gave somebody else an opportunity to step in her place. It's not like they just, she dropped out and they lose that spot. They have someone else that comes in, sort of reserve that comes in here. So the next quote that she said was, I say put mental health first, because if you don't, then you're not going to enjoy your sport and you're not going to succeed as much as you want to. It's okay sometimes to sit out the big competitions to focus on yourself. It shows how strong of a person and competitor you really are. So this is where I think pushed some people's buttons a little bit, and they were like, well, it's easy for her to say this and blah, blah, blah. Like, you got to the Olympics and now you're dropping out. And I heard people even ridiculously say they should ban her from the U.S. I'm like, from the U.S. team. And I'm just like, some of this stuff is absolutely ridiculous. She is the best at what she does in the world. And, a lot of people out there deal with mental illness and mental health. And, I think it's something that, has just kind of come into the limelight over the past maybe 5 years or so. I remember Kevin Love put out an article in some sort of magazine that really brought awareness to the topic. And then other players jumped in saying, it's just something they would have kept quiet in the past. But like him bringing awareness and now Simone Biles bringing awareness to this really, I think, helps a lot of people. So, that's one thing. I want to show you this next image. This is the classic. This was from South Park, but it was a classic meme that was going around. And like the phrase underneath it would say, I can't believe Simone Biles isn't competing. She's really letting us down. So it's like, you know, an out of shape, overweight dude who is just commenting and basically just trashing her for no reason. So, you know, that was one. And then I love this one from The Onion. So it says, obviously, The Onion is a parody site, but she could have avoided all that scrutiny by simply being less good. So I just love that one. The one thing she did say, though, there has been a ton of outpouring of love and support she has received and has made her realize that she's more than the accomplishments and gymnastics, which she never truly believed before. So, you know, the fact that there are really good people out there, and Twitter isn't the best way. I love Twitter, but Twitter isn't the best way to gauge the goodness of people, if you want to say that, because a lot of people have a lot of things to say and they're kind of keyboard warriors and can kind of hide behind, you know, their desk or their computer screen or whatever it might be, and say what their opinion is. But when it comes down to it, their opinion doesn't mean jack. And I'm going to show you this flow chart. I have to find my own personal copy because it's really small and I want to be able to read it to you. So I'm going to have Lucas put this up on the screen. And, you know, we're going to talk about this because this is so great. So I know it's going to be hard if you're reading this at home, but this was the best thing I saw out there on Twitter. And I apologize because I can't give credit someone because I don't know who it came from. Somebody screenshotted this and sent it to me. So here's a flow chart. And if you don't know how flow charts work, basically you answer a yes or no question and it flows you on to the next topic. So first question, are you a gymnast? No, I'm a conservative pundit who has never done as much as a cartwheel in my life, let alone landed a Yurchenko double pike. So if that's you, shut the F up. So if you're able to answer, yes, I am a gymnast. Have you ever competed on an international stage, such as the World Championship, Pan American Games, or Summer Olympics? If your answer is no, then shut the F up. If your answer is yes, and let me see. So they expect Black athletes to put their minds and bodies at risk purely for my entertainment and sense of so-called national pride, because I've always viewed Black Americans' lives as less expendable. That's not my words. This is somebody else. I just thought this was kind of a funny parody of what it comes down to. But if you answered yes, you competed in the international stage. Did you win 4 gold medals in women's gymnastics at the 2016 Olympic Games in Rio de Janeiro? No, I just choose to be on the wrong side of every single issue because grievance politics is a convenient way to insert myself into the national conversation in order to try to stay relevant, despite the fact that all of my ideas are objectively bad and unpopular. So I thought that was funny. If you can answer yes to that, have you single-handedly revolutionized the sport, including, but not limited to, inventing 4 mind-boggling, complex, original moves that are now named after you? So most people would say no. And they would just say, I'm just a pasty, a pasty middle-aged, sad sack, griping about courage because I've never encountered any real form of adversity in my life. And criticizing Black female athletes is a way of expressing deep-seated feelings of inferiority at my relative lack of talent, as well as a way to give myself a false sense of cultural superiority, since I secretly feel threatened by anything and anyone that challenges the notions of white supremacy and the heteropatriarchy, which are core tenets of my worldview. I'm sorry. This is just too entertaining not to read, but there's just so many good things here. So if you could still answer yes, then we'll go on to the next one. Have you survived growing up in the foster care system and later being sexually abused by a team doctor who USA Gymnastics and the FBI failed to protect you from for years? And after overcoming all that, still managed to become the greatest gymnast of all time? No, I'm not Simone Biles. I'm just some dipshit. Or yes, I literally am Simone Biles. That's the only way you could get down to this. And then So if you are Simone Biles, you are the only person on earth who is allowed to criticize you. But go easy on yourself. You did what you had to do. So I had to share that because that was so good. Whoever put that together, credit to you, applause to you. I know I probably will get some backlash on some of that, but you know what? I don't care because it's worth it. And it makes a lot of sense too, if you listen to those comments, because this girl and what she has done, I think she's 22 years old, and everything she has done in her career up to this point is just some of the greatest stuff of all time. So I know we talk football and basketball and baseball, and we don't talk a whole lot of gymnastics, but this girl, pound for pound, one of the greatest athletes we've ever seen in the USA. So I just want to say personally, good luck to Simone Biles, her mental health. Hopefully she's able to compete still in these Olympic Games. If she's not, take care of yourself, get better, do what you got to do. But, we all could be a little bit better, I guess is what I'm trying to say there. Okay. So, she did drop out of the individual competition, but that led to another opportunity for one of her teammates. So, Suni Lee won the gold medal in the 2020, which is now 2021 Olympics. I believe this was either last night or this morning. So she placed first in all around gold, and she's got a great story too. Her dad, unfortunately fell out of, it was like either off a ladder or a tree or something. And he's now in a wheelchair, but she had a really tough go of it for a while, but she overcame a lot of obstacles and obviously has now become one of the best gymnasts in the world. So in 2020, Suni Lee won this all around. 2016, Simone Biles. 2012 was Gabby Douglas. 2008, Nastia Lukin. And 2004 was Carly Patterson. All of those females won gold in the all-around competition, and they are all Americans. So good, hats off to them. Hats off to Suni Lee on winning, and best wishes to her. So there is an image of her if you've never seen her before. But if you watch the Olympics, they're going to feature a ton of profiles, especially on her. That's one thing that NBC does and loves to do is do these individual stories that, try to choke you up a little bit. So here is a look real quick at the medal count too. And I'm going to kind of just go through real quick the USA athletes who have won so far, but 38 medals overall for the Americans, 31 for China. And then ROC is the Russian Olympic Committee. So that's what they are referred to as ROC. So here's what the United States has medaled in gold so far. So swimming men's 400 individual medley is Chase Kalise. Shooting men's air rifle, William Shaner. Taekwondo for women, Anastasia Zolotik. Swimming men's 4x100, Caleb Dressel, Bowen Becker, Blake Peroni, Zach Apple, and Brooks Curry. Shooting, which is women's skeet shooting, Amber English. Shooting in the men's skeet shooting, Vincent Hancock. Fencing, women's individual foil was Lee Kiefer. Let's see, swimming 100 meter breaststroke was Lydia Jacoby. That was that athlete from Alaska I told you about last show. Surfing women's shortboard was Carissa Moore. Basketball, the women 3-on-3, the USA team beat Russia in the gold medal game to win the gold. Swimming men's 100 meter freestyle was Caleb Dressel. Swimming women's 1500 meters, which is insane. It's such a long race. Katie Ledecky, probably the best female swimmer. And also, let me see, missed one here. Robert Fink. I'm not sure what sport he was in. I believe that was swimming as well. That was the 800 meter freestyle. And then gymnastics, women's all around was Suni Lee. So those are the gold medals, the silver medals so far. 400 meter individual medley was Jay Litherland. Swimming women's 400 individual medley, Emma Wyant. 400 meter freestyle, Katie Ledecky. Shooting mixed air rifle team, Lucas Kaczynski and Mary Tucker. Gymnastics artistic, Suni Lee, Grace McCollum, Jordan Chiles, and Simone Biles won the silver for that. The softball team finished with the silver medal, losing to Japan in the gold medal game. In equestrian, Adrian Lyle, Stefan Peters, Sabine Schutt-Carey in open team equestrian. Diving, women's 10-meter platform, Jessica Parado, Delaney Schnell. Diving 3-meter springboard synchronized was Michael Hickson and Andrew Capibianco. So a couple more here. Swimming, women's 200-meter butterfly, Regan Smith. Swimming, women's 4x200-meter freestyle, Arabella Sims, Katie Ledecky, Allison Schmidt, Paige Madden, Brooke Ford, Katie McLaughlin. Swimming, women's 1500-meter freestyle, Erica Sullivan. And swimming 200-meter individual medley, Alex Walsh. Shooting, women's trap shooting was Kaylee Browning. And then just a few more. I want to give everybody, I wanted to read everybody's name off, at least for the U.S. Swimming, men's 400-meter freestyle, Kieran Smith. 400-meter women's individual medley, Haley Flickinger. Skateboarding, men's street skateboarding, Jagger Eaton. That sounds like a skateboarder name for sure. Women's 4x100 freestyle, Simone Manuel, Natalie Hines, Olivia Smolesia, Abby Wetzel, Erica Brown, Allison Schmidt, Katie DeLoof. Triathlon, Katie Zephyrs. Swimming, 100-meter backstroke, Regan Smith. Men's 100-meter backstroke, Ryan Murphy. Women's 100-meter breaststroke, Lily King. Women's 200-meter butterfly, Haley Flickinger. Swimming, women's 200-meter individual medley, Kate Douglas. So those were all the names I had on my list. As of this point, that was as of 11 a.m. So again, 38 medals for the U.S., 31 for China, and 28 for Russia. Those are the leading three as of now. So congratulations to all those athletes. And, you know, best of luck going forward. Okay, we're going to switch now to the next topic, which is Ohio State football. Ohio State football is set to kick off training camp here in about 5 days, I believe. So Ohio State was going to have a quarterback battle on its hands, obviously with Justin Fields heading to the NFL. But now they have even more a possibility of what even more could be a amazing quarterback battle. So if you haven't heard the name Quinn Ewers, you will hear a lot about him going forward in these next few years. So Quinn Ewers is the top-ranked player in the 2022 class, but he's mulling a huge decision. By the way, he is the highest-rated recruit Ohio State has ever signed. Over Terrell Pryor, over several other athletes. But you can't score any higher on a recruiting ranking than he did. The only other player to score as high as Quinn Ewers has was Trevor Lawrence 4 years back. So that tells you right away the company he is in. So Trevor Lawrence and Quinn Ewers, the only two perfect projections in, you know, based on these recruiting rankings. So we have talked about this NIL, name, image, likeness. And now, to give you an example, the quarterback for Alabama right now, who has not taken a snap ever in his college career, has roughly $800,000 in NIL deals already done. He's yet to take a snap. He's yet to play a game. But he's capitalizing on this. I think certain athletes see this and they're like, hey, I want to cash in while I can. So Quinn Ewers right now is mulling a decision to forego his senior season in high school. I don't know how that works academically and credits and all that other stuff, but he wants to enroll right in Columbus, right at Ohio State right now, so he can start cashing in on this. I don't think it's a greedy move, but I think it's very interesting. I haven't quite had enough time to process this and think about it, but this will make for a really, really interesting quarterback room, let's just say. So here's who's in the Buckeye quarterback room right now. So obviously I said Justin Fields went to the NFL. He, you know, top 11 pick with the Chicago Bears. So right now, his backup last year, most likely the starter for this coming season, would have been C.J. Stroud, who is a sophomore, nearly a five-star rated. And if you don't know recruiting rankings, they go 1 to 5, 5 being the highest you can get, sort of, you know, if you're rating a business or something. So, you know, the higher, the closer to 5 you are, the better. So this kid is nearly a five-star caliber player. He started slotted to be the starter, most likely. He is from right outside Los Angeles, California. Kyle McCord is a five-star quarterback from Philadelphia. He will fight for a starting job with Ohio State. He was the Pennsylvania High School Player of the Year. He was the National High School Player of the Year last year. And as a true freshman, you know, he arguably could be the backup or fight for some playing time with the Buckeyes. And then Ohio State has another one in that room named Jack Miller. He is a four-star quarterback from Scottsdale, Arizona. So they have a loaded, loaded quarterback room. Plus you throw in, on top of C.J. Stroud, Kyle McCord, and Jack Miller, you throw in the highest ranked prospect of all time, to fight for your quarterback spot. So this is going to be very, very interesting for Ohio State, for the teams on their schedule, different things like that. What's going to happen to this quarterback room? Now, if Quinn Ewers comes in and is named the starter, I think two of those guys are gone, you know, and transfer as fast as possible, which is fine, you know, but competition breeds success. And the better the players you get in there, the better your program is going to be. However, you know, I heard Ryan Day last week ask the question of, do you feel like you're preparing, you know, Northwestern's future quarterback or Team X's future quarterback? Because whatever guy or guys don't get the starting job, there's a good chance, you know, two of them will stay and two of them will go. And are you preparing that quarterback that might be at Penn State, might be at Northwestern, might go to a different school that you could play against? But, you know, he basically answered it very politically, did a good job. And he basically just said, we're going to play the best guy. And that's what it comes down to. And that's what any coach really at the end of the day will tell you. I know that's coach speak, but, any coach is going to play the best players to give them a chance to win. So this is sort of an unfolding story. We don't know all the details. We don't know if it's going to happen yet or not, but I thought it was worth commenting on because there's a very good chance Quinn Ewers will be an Ohio State Buckeye. Well, he's going to be an Ohio State Buckeye, but will it be in the 2021 season or the 2022 season? So keep an eye on that, and we'll keep you updated with what's going on with that. Okay. Now, switching to the NBA and the Cleveland Cavaliers. So tonight is draft night for the Cavs. It is a huge, huge night for Cleveland basketball. Okay, so we have a nice young roster, you know, with Darius Garland, Colin Sexton, Isaac Okoro. Let's see, who am I missing? Larry Nance is still on the team. You got Jared Allen. You got some nice, nice players to build with going forward. Now, Jared Allen's a restricted free agent. He could sign elsewhere, but the Cavs can match any of that. He's a guy they picked up in the, they were involved in that James Harden trade with Houston and the Nets. They got him from Brooklyn last year, and everyone's really, really high on this guy. So the three top prospects, the Cavs pick third tonight in the draft. So the three top prospects are Cade Cunningham, Jalen Green, and Evan Mobley. So everyone has been on the Cade Cunningham bandwagon from really day one, but now there's some smoke coming out that Detroit really likes Jalen Green. He could, you know, he'd fit well with the team, which could drop Cade Cunningham to two. There's been a lot of talk of Houston loving Jalen Green. This guy is an absolute scorer. This guy is going to be probably the leading scorer in the class. Cade Cunningham is more of the small forward, but can also play the point guard position and just kind of your overall all-around player. And then Evan Mobley, I've heard him referred to as sort of a unicorn, a guy that can, you know, do it all. He can, you know, he can shoot, he can play great defense, he can rebound, he can pass for a big man, he can face up, he can dribble drive, he can do all these things, which, you know, big guys usually can't do. So I've heard him referred to as the unicorn of this draft and could be the best player going forward. I've heard that about all three of these guys that, you know, you, these are three can't miss guys. So let me sort of give you what these tiers mean that these draft prospects put in. So tier one is a franchise cornerstone player. So there are only three tier one players in this draft. And that is the guys I mentioned, Cade Cunningham, Jalen Green, Evan Mobley. Usually there's one per draft, if not any. You know, I think a couple of years ago, they didn't have any tier one players in the draft. But this is very interesting to see three of them in the Cavs pick three. So I think it's as simple as you take the best player that's available. That's my opinion. What do you think, Lucas?
Yeah, I'm super excited. I actually get to watch the draft this year.
Okay.
So
nice.
I'll be off in time for that. But yeah, I think this is huge for Cleveland.
Mm-hmm.
Huge with having the third pick and having three tier one draft picks. I mean, and like you said last show, I'm good with any of them.
Okay.
Now I've been a seasonal Lakers fan ever since LeBron went there.
Sure. But, sure.
You know, I've always had a love for Kobe too, but I'm very excited to see Jalen Green because of the other two, he's the only one that was in the G League.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he has experience against grown men.
Yes.
Whereas, you know, so I think being a tier one draft pick from the G League puts him maybe, you know, a little bit ahead of the other two.
I agree.
That's what I think just because, you know, the transition from college to NBA is massive.
I mean,
you're taking the best person from every team and building teams with them. So I think the most promise is with Jalen Green, especially with his scoring ability.
Sure.
I'm very excited though to see where all three of these guys go.
Absolutely. Yeah. So. I mean, I think Cade Cunningham's kind of like your Swiss Army knife. He does it all. Jalen Green is more of your scoring, your Kobe type.
Right.
You know, I've heard the biggest knock on him is he doesn't get his teammates involved a ton, but he's probably the most athletic player in this draft, and he can just simply fill up the hoop, which at the end of the day, you got to get buckets, you know? And then Evan Mobley is just kind of that best all-around big, you know, that he can do it all, but he doesn't necessarily play like a center. He plays more like a stretch four or can even handle. I've heard he can even, if they go with a huge lineup like a Jared Allen at center and you put, you know, somebody else like a Larry Nance, a power forward, you can even play him in a supersized lineup at three.
Yeah.
So to have a 7-footer be able to, you know, shoot from the outside, be able to handle the ball well enough.
Right.
So if I had to put money on it right now, Evan Mobley to the Cavs, that makes the most sense. I know Oklahoma City who picks six and I think they have a couple picks. Like Orlando has picks 5 and 8.
Right.
OKC has like they have like 20 picks over the next like 4 or 5 years. So there's a lot of teams that are going to be calling the Cavs, even Toronto, who picks right behind them. But for me, it's so simple. You take the best player at three, and then if somebody else wants to make a trade for a Colin Sexton or Kevin Love or a Larry Nance Jr. or someone like that, and you pick up the phone and see if you can get back in the top, you know, 20 or whatever it might be.
The only one that would, I mean, it makes sense for the shooting guards because, I mean, then you'd have an overloaded roster.
Sure, sure.
Then you'd have to dump off some of those guys.
Exactly.
And you can make some really good trades.
Exactly.
The only one I could see coming that wouldn't cost a trade would be the Mobley.
Absolutely.
You know, he could fit right into
the lineup. I'm 100% agree with you because I think, if somehow Houston does take or somebody jumps up and makes a trade above Cleveland and takes Evan Mobley, and I hate to say you're left with Jalen Green because a lot of people think in a normal draft year, he's going number one. But if you get I think if you get Jalen Green, you're happy. If you get Evan Mobley, you're happy. And the chances are very, very slim that Cade Cunningham would drop to number three. But if you got any of those threes, I mean, we're kind of beating a dead horse, but yeah, you take one of those three and you walk away and you're a way better team than you were yesterday. Right. So some other guys you're going to hear their names called early on. Jalen Suggs, Gonzaga. A lot of people really like Jalen Suggs. Scotty Barnes, Florida State. Javon Booknight, UConn. Jonathan Kuminga, also in the G League last year. Davion Mitchell led his team to a championship at Baylor. The guy I think is going to be a nice sleeper is that Alpred Sanguin from Turkey and Josh Giddey from Australia. There's a bunch of names I left off, but those are the guys I think you're going to hear their names called in the first probably 12 picks. And, you know, I think there's going to be a lot of moving and wheeling and dealing tonight. So you don't see NBA drafts come around like this too often.
Right.
Where there's a consensus on, Jalen Suggs could be a number one or number two overall pick in a lot of years drafts. But with the consensus top three, he's probably going to be number four or number five this year, which you're getting a steal with any of those guys. So very, 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 very interested. To give you a perspective, a tier two, we mentioned all those guys were tier one. Tier two, the ceiling is as an all NBA player, kind of like a Kawhi Leonard type, you know, whatever it might be. But like, you know, you make the first, second, or third all NBA team. And then the floor for a tier two guy is usually an NBA all-star. So these guys are tier ones. So cornerstone franchise, all NBA players. Now they got to put the work in. The team has to build the right, you know, pieces around them for them to succeed. But, you know, these guys just catapult right to the top, in my opinion, and make your team that much better. Now, Evan Mobley, one thing I do want to say about him, I think he's 7 foot one and he's 215, 220 pounds. So he's going to need to add probably 20 pounds of muscle.
True, but I don't know. It depends on what position.
Exactly. Yeah. Good point.
I mean,
good point.
He has the perfect build to be like a, I guess he'd have to be more of a, like that stretch, like you said,
like a Chris Bosh type player.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, cause I mean, look at Kevin Durant. I mean, granted that's like an X factor.
Right. Right.
But
you're right.
One in a million. Like
exactly.
He's probably less than 215.
Mm-hmm. That's a good point.
So I don't know. It all depends.
So keep an eye on the draft tonight. It's going to be very, very interesting, and there's going to be a lot of wheeling and dealing, in my opinion. So let's move on. Just a couple more things I want to talk about today. The next thing, once I get my notes here, is we're going to talk. Oh, yeah, the Indians. Sorry. The Indians made a trade already, sending Cesar Hernandez to the Chicago White Sox. So I have to look up. I'm actually going to look it up right now because I don't know. The trade just happened on my way down here. But Cesar Hernandez was traded to the White Sox, I believe, for a pitcher. I don't know what his scouting report is, but I'm going to just check it out real quick. So the White Sox are, you know, this sort of sends a sign that, hey, we're, you know, we're kind of, I don't want to say giving up, but we're going with the youth movement here. And, you know, we're going to play some of these young guys. White Sox are kind of going all in. I think they have a great team that has an opportunity to win the World Series. So let's see. They picked up a kid named Connor Pilkington, not a household name, but Connor Pilkington says he's a 6'3", 230 pounder pitching at Class AA Birmingham. And he was the third round pick in 2018. But the Indians, I wish they would have got a bat, you know, because that seems to be their biggest weakness year in and year out. But you can always say trust the process with the Indians, because they produce pitchers left and right and turn these average guys into above average starters, or these above average starters into Cy Young Award winners. Take Corey Kluber, take Shane Bieber. So, you know, those we'll see how that goes. I don't think they're probably done. I think there's probably at least one or two more guys that have the possibility of getting traded for the Indians. Now the Guardians, it's still going to be weird to say that, but for the rest of the year, they are the Indians. And final thing was Browns training camp. So yesterday, Browns training camp started. Everything looks good for the Browns right now. They, you know, have upgraded on the defensive side of the ball big time. There's two guys that we know for sure going to start that started last year, obviously Myles Garrett and Denzel Ward, but the Browns could have up to 9 new starters on the defensive end, which, you know, that it's going to, you're going to need some cohesion, some getting in sync, but they're able to get this training camp in unlike they were last year. And they were able to get some OTAs in early in the year. One player they are missing right now on the COVID-19 list is their first or second round draft pick, JOK or Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah out of Notre Dame. He is a very, very highly thought of prospect, kind of a hybrid linebacker safety. And they look to really use him a lot in different ways this year. The report with Odell Beckham Jr. is that he looks absolutely amazing. He had ACL surgery in November, which shows you how fast that injury has now come along, and he's healed, because a lot of times in the past, ACLs were almost a full year recovery. Now you see guys, I mean, Odell looks full speed, ready to go about, you know, 7-8 months after the surgery. So, you know, wishing him the best. And if with a healthy Odell Beckham and that running game and Baker Mayfield making plays and that offensive line, the Browns could be very, very explosive this year. The only negative note that happened yesterday, it didn't turn out to be too bad, was Greedy Williams had left the field. We know Greedy Williams sort of has been very injury prone over his first 2 years, but it turned out to just be like heat related. They took him in precautionary. He's fine. I'm guessing he's on the field today in Berea, but yeah, they open up Browns training camp to all the fans tomorrow, which is really cool. You know, there's limited tickets available. I'm sure they're already taken, but you can look into that for dates if you would like to attend a Browns training camp. So a lot of good things going on, a busy time for Cleveland sports and sports in general. So, you know, obviously the Browns training camp, we got the NBA draft tonight. We have a Major League trade deadline tomorrow at 4 p.m. So keep an eye on all those things. I'll keep you posted. Make sure to follow us at 330 Sports Show and follow us on Youngstown Studio. We are on all platforms, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. I try to push out as much news as I can via those pages. So make sure to follow us, give us a like, comment, tell us what you like, tell us what you don't like. You got any show ideas, send them our way. But just a quick reminder, 2 amazing guests next week, or 2 groups of amazing guests. Pavlansky family will join us on Tuesday. Head coach in Poland and the head coach at Canfield, they actually match up on the field that's named after their father in Poland, opening day, game 1 in Poland. So that's something really exciting that we'll get into next week, and we'll talk about the family, their history and coaching and all that good stuff. And then also next Thursday, G Scott Senior, the parent of G Scott Jr., from Seattle, Washington, will join us, and really looking forward to that talk. So everybody, enjoy your weekend. Thanks for tuning in, and we will talk to you next week.
Thank you for listening to this show on Youngstown Studio. If you like our programming, we invite you to subscribe to our YouTube channel, follow our Facebook page, or subscribe to your favorite podcast platform like iTunes or Spotify. This is original Youngstown content, and we would appreciate you sharing the videos and the word about us. Thank you.